The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Good morning, you're on the Deadline Report and this is Ben Pidgeon Investigates Care of Fresh FM, the greatest radio station on the world. Now, today we're going to talk about the war in the Ukraine and we are going to talk about propaganda and we are going to talk about how people really will start thinking about what's going on with Labour and National. Because isn't it funny, doesn't matter who we vote in, they always go and march us off to wars. You know, remember how Iraq, Helen Clark got us in there and then WikiLeaks turned out that it was all about dairy farms. It had nothing to do about security. And actually, I interviewed Nikki Hager when he came out with Secret Powers. And one of the things he always said to me was that, you know, the purpose of things like Echelon and the Five Eyes and so on is that they're not there to protect our way of life or security because, of course, you know, they didn't detect Christchurch attack. Although we did have on the front page of the newspaper of the ODT someone threatening to go and shoot up a whole bunch of people in North Otago that even had the same spelling mistakes as Tarrant, and we still somehow managed to miss it. So guess GCSB's not all it's cracked out to be. Of course, didn't stop us from the Rainbow Warrior when our allies came in and blew up the Rainbow Warrior, which then had National and Labour and Green and everybody in the country going, you know what, nuclear war really kind of sucks. Well, since then, we've now got Rocket Lab, all okay, kind of, you know, brought in by a national seed funded by Faye Richwhite of the Wine Box Inquiry, which, again, when we look at all the dodgy money, which we'll get into later on, should have been a warning signal right then. Total's a New Zealand space, but actually, no, it turns out more and more that it's owned by Lockheed Martin, the same people that want to do deep sea mining all throughout New Zealand and in the Pacific. In fact, they've even been caught trying to actually muscle in and try and bully the government of Fiji. So, yes, good old Rocket Lab. Now, of course, Jacinda came along. We instead had her doing selfies with William Shatner, a little bit like Katy Perry doing a going into space. In fact, not going to space. It's low Earth orbit, but hey, let's not pop a billionaire's dream. And so she's, you know, foaming there, up there by my hair peninsula, you know, is it Rocket Lab? As it's launching more and more weapons and there's more and more arms companies actually set it up in New Zealand. And of course, while we're all getting incredibly, terribly, terribly upset, all those things that the naughty Russians are getting up to, which they are naughty, and we will be getting into that, but I'll also be pointing out the fact that, A, we kind of may put in, and B, when he was doing naughty things, when we thought he was doing what we wanted, we're all, none of these people that all outraged, morally outraged him now, were saying the same damn thing, and they certainly haven't said a damn thing about the Emirates. You know, that's a country that's carrying out murder in the Sudan and genocide, and it's actually using... in fact, in Sudan, it was WikiLeaks told us that it was a New Zealand company called Radiola who were using encrypted technology very, very similar to what they use on the America's Cup boats, which get carried around on these big Russian Antonovs that all have a history of supplying arms to war zones where terrible, terrible things actually happen, which actually benefits countries like United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, who are members of the Lockheed Martin Vision 2030 program, which Helen Clark told us all and all through the end that, oh, yes, this is going to bring equality and democracy to the Middle East. In actual fact, as Jamal Khashoggi revealed, Vision 2030 program sponsored by Lockheed Martin, the people behind Rocket Lab, its main purpose was basically to create new smart weapons and new technology, basically kind of designed by software by like countries like New Zealand, which were largely tested out of things like yacht races, which, you know, very harsh environment. And if you want to test out, you know, harsh conditions for weapons, brilliant. Also doubles up as a, you want to test out stuff that's going to be used in space, fantastic. Which is probably why Rocket Lab's hangar up in Auckland's right next to where they have the America's Cup. Starting to join the dots here, folks. Oh, no, but it's all those evil Russians. We don't get involved in genocide. You know, what about when the Paradise Papers showed that actually all of those Arab dictators that were being supplied with gas from the Russians, which is going through to the West, were actually also being provided with Israeli weapons, which are actually being made by New Zealand. Oh, I guess that doesn't count. Hypocrisy, hypocrisy, hypocrisy. Same situation. We've got the same people in the Ukraine that are responsible for the genocide in Gaza. You can't have it both ways. Either you actually oppose to the genocide of Gaza, in which case you'll suppose you're against the same people that are involved, started, initiated the war in the Ukraine, or you're not. In which case, that's okay. At least you're being consistent. And then we get into the propaganda war, which we'll get into in just a second. Let's just do a little bit of housekeeping, first of all, before we get too carried away with today's show, because there's a lot to be covered. And I tried to record this beforehand, and I actually kind of recorded too much, and we're having to do it all over again. Anyway, Okay, so let's start again. I talk about America's Cup because, again, one of the things I talk about here is that we're all about evil Putin. Isn't he terrible? Isn't he horrible? Isn't he bad Putin? But isn't it funny? All the way up until 2017, there were lots of articles about all these Russian oligarchs coming into New Zealand, buying up luxury lots in far north, bringing in this super yacht, Roman Emirovich bought his yacht, and oh, how we aren't we lucky to have Russian billionaires coming down here? This is 2017. Bear in mind, this is about the time of the Paradise Papers and Panama Papers start to really kind of start cooking. And they are starting to say the same things that I said in my book one, State Secrets one, when I looked at things like Proc Bank and New Zealand's role in the Food for Oil program, which we'll get into in a second as well. And then I cover these again, looking at these yachts that were going, you know, big Russian Antonovs that were going to pick up yachts to take to America's Cup races overseas that were the big Russian transportated materials, stop any place in Saudi Arabia, who was supplying horrible wars with technology. And it's very similar to what we're making here in New Zealand. And as I said, we've already had a couple of cases. Radiola is one. Liberia is another case where it turns out actually the stuff that's been used by warlords to bring in the equipment so that they're not getting caught is actually, in fact, made in New Zealand. We are balls deep in blood. We do not get to have the moral high ground when we are actually carrying out genocide. But, oh, we won't talk about the bad things that our people do or the fact that we were quite happy with Putin up until that point. You know, it all changed in 2022. But before we get into that, I want to I will take you back from 22 all the way to 1991, because this is the major problem that we're actually having with this conflict, is that people are entering at point 22 and going, oh, what Russians are doing is they're following what the mainstream media is doing. And when I say mainstream media, I quote mainstream myself. But mainstream, I mean, is what's on when you turn on the news at 6 o'clock in the news, or you look at today's newspaper, or what's been fed to you by the algorithms, which are largely controlled by Five Eyes, you know, friendly organization. So they're having a pretty good job. Never in their lives have they ever had a better job of being able to control what you're seeing when you get your news sources digitally. They actually get to know exactly what your likes and dislikes are, and they can adapt accordingly. That's the whole point of why it's such a scary tool to begin with. And again, what we see from Jamal Khashoggi is evidence that, you know, a lot of that technology which we were told was, oh, this is going to include great inclusivity and diversity. It's done the complete opposite. This is the neoliberal lie. They do it to us all, every single time. If you do this, we will give you that. And then you get the, oh, we're not ready for it, or some other excuse. And the end result to the meat grinder is the very opposite of what we promised. And we end up, the people that were told that they were going to be protected the most get hurt the most. Let's go with a little song before, because we're going to do is we're going to go right back to 1991, and we're going to start popping some of these lies, which are, look, you know, if you're under 35 and you're listening to this stuff, I get it. But if you're over 45 and you're around at the time of the Rainbow Warrior was, and you were actually around during the Cold War, it's about time you all bloody all grew up. Okay, because listen, we went for this whole nonsense, Cold War, 50s, 1960s, 70s. Oh, you know, eventually by the 80s, the left started to work out, you know what? Everything that they say that the KGB are doing, we're kind of doing too. Oh, look what they've done to the terrible journalists over there. You don't think journalists don't get taught? Is anyone, a little lame called Julian Assange, remember him? Orwell once turned around and said the mark of nationalism is when they refuse to accept that their society is incapable of doing the immoral wickedness that they blame upon the others. I'm slightly paraphrasing, but that was the gist of it. So we're going to go with back in the USSR, and then we come back, we're going to go take you from 91. In fact, we're going to take you from 1987, from the Iran-Contra affair, because this is very important. A lot of people that think they're progressive liberal think that by supporting the war in the Ukraine, they're being progressive liberal. No, you're not. What you're doing is you're supporting Ronald Reagan, you're supporting Margaret Thatcher, you're supporting Tony Blair. That's the person, again, these are people that carried out the legal wars in Iraq and Afghanistan as part of the project for the new movement. But hey, let's take a break and go back in the USSR on the Deadline Report here at Fresh FM.
In the USSR.
Good morning. You're on the Deadline Report. Kira, Fresh FM. So basically, Gorbachev is saying to the Americans, hey, this whole Cold War thing isn't working for us all. Let's stop it because it's costing us both countries' economies. It's bankrupting us. And the Americans are going, oh, we might consider it. And then the White House Revolution takes place in 93, which is, you know, when Russians are flying into New Zealand and say, how about we do a deal where we actually give you a whole bunch of weapons in exchange for your dairy? And that's how all the diplomats laugh about it. But in actual fact, what actually is never explained properly was what the Russians are saying. We don't literally give you the arms. What we do is we exchange them for countries that sell oil, and they give us the oil, and then we sell oil and you get the money. But they never kind of explain that situation. Again, when we start to look at the Food for Oil program and we look at the bribes that were taking place from the Texas guys, that friends of, you know, Mark Thatcher and Mark Rich in Switzerland, and Jack Amberinth, whose friend Mikhail Gorbachev is going to turn up in New Zealand around about 2017. There's all this money basically flying out of the West to bribe Russians to basically allow them to sell off their country's silverware. And but this is kind of getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, because basically in 93, the White House Revolution takes place, and the Americans say to Gorbachev, no, sod your idea about, you know, saying slightly socialist. You've got to be completely free market or nothing. You've got to open your legs and let us come in and plunder your country, silly. So Gorbachev's got no choice, so he does that. He gets pushed to the sidelines. Yeltsin comes in. Then all these Western countries are coming into Russia. They're buying up whatever they can. They're starting off at St. Petersburg, where Putin's just a little, like, you know, minor bureaucrat. You've got companies like Stephen Jennings, who's gone from basically, you know, helping Favourite White sell off or privatise New Zealand to he's now also in Switzerland at the same time they are, and he's now working for Credit Suisse, and he goes into Russia and says, a pioneer model, bullshit biscuit company, to all you guys who, you know, you're used to the USSR, now you've got your shares in your own factory, but you've got no food. I'll tell you what, I'll give you 10 cents in shares, just like when they sold off the New Zealand Electricity Company and people got, you know, got these early shares, and people that didn't have a lot of money saw this as like a chance to go and, you know, maybe buy us a couple of weeks groceries or whatever. They sold them and then the market snatched them up, and then, you know, basically we end up with 51% of our electricity company privatized. So they're doing the same, offering the Russians the same, we're going to make you an offer you can't refuse. And pretty much, well, this leads to the beginning of Putin, and he's getting all these people around him that have been mates, and we're all thinking, oh, isn't Putin wonderful? And we're all boasting, isn't it great? All these Americans and Russians are coming into New Zealand, they're buying up luxury resorts and bringing them, aren't we so lucky to have all these billionaires coming into our country? And that also, isn't Putin such a wonderful person? That's the way the press is selling it to this particular point. And this is all around about 93, thereabouts. And at the same time, you've got the war that's happening in Bosnia, which then starts to see you're looking at things like, you know, here's a good example. I write about a book, Pacific Express. So he's based, Simon Spitz is a dodgy Israeli guy, and he's operating in Switzerland. And he's basically, these cheap Russian weapons technologically are ending up in places all around the world, but they're also ending up in Switzerland. And he's using them to supply the wars in places like in Africa. And the Russians are not very happy about this, so they're Doberman, and old Simon Spitz then turns up in New Zealand. And, you know, let's not talk about that, the fact that actually we had this, our own arms trafficker basically operating out of New Zealand for about 3 or 4 years. But what's actually happening is he's supplying weapons in Bosnia, and the events that are taking place in Bosnia, the Madeleine Albright, the Secretary of State, uses that situation to then get NATO involved. So it goes from James Baker saying back in 1991, as part of the whole deal, like the Russians, you stay on your side of the fence, we'll stay on our side of the fence. Suddenly NATO is starting to expand eastwards. And as they're expanding eastwards, they're starting to also put long-range capacity striking missiles into their countries. Now, around about 97, the Project for New American Century pops up and basically says, we reserve the right to first strike, because there's all these countries out there that are getting, nuclear weapons, and we need to, show them that, you know, they just can't, you know, that they do that, that when, you know, they risk getting a first strike capacity. Only small problem again is that, again, you know, one of the things that the Russians are trying to crack down on is all this, you know, technologies that could be landed in the hands of nuclear prolific countries are hitting from Western mates out there into the wild blue market, and they are actually ending up in places like Iran and North Korea, but it's actually the West that's doing the peddling. And a very good example of that is Ashikana using technology linked into Lockheed Martin through South Africa to Israel, and it turns out, you know, he's part of this, you know, neo-Nazi network that's still alive after the war, just like the Panama Papers and so on. And this is really good for the nuclear industry, because most of the money that you make selling weapons comes from nuclear weapons. Conventional weapons only make up 1%, and that's what you use to create debt, but it's actually the real money to be made is nuclear weapons. So they want to kind of have the world going back to this Cold War situation, because there's a lot of money to be made, like a lot. And the Russians are really not keen, you know, to see nuclear proliferation, so they're actually the ones that are trying to stomp it out, and they're getting nervous because now the Americans are talking about first strike capacity as they're putting their tactical nuclear weapons into the area, which they said they wouldn't back in 1991. And of course, the thing that really kind of like starts to kind of get this very tricky is that at the same time, you know, going on about the Project New American Century, is like this has made up a lot of people like Richard V. Allen, the guy that tried to, you know, sue me, who's Ronald Reagan's former national security advisor. These guys are not pleasant. They are evil hawks, and they're very close up in the game with Israel. And Israel's getting very nervous because people are starting to look at the human rights record. And America, actually, Israel really likes Cold War politics, because basically, while everyone's, you know, clashing against East versus West, they can get away with lots of things because, you know, the West needs them to keep the Russians out of the Middle East. Again, all these things, Russians look and go, what the hell's going on here? And then eventually what actually takes place is we have September 11th takes place. And of course, we've got a bit of a problem there, because the Americans use that to kind of go into Afghanistan or Iraq, which turns out there weren't any weapons of mass destruction and really didn't actually have anything to do with what they said was an illegal invasion. And again, it's funny how like, oh, isn't it terrible the Russians invade Ukraine? But it's okay for the Americans to go into Afghanistan, which turns out it was completely built on a lie, including Tony Blair saying that the weapons, you know, that the Iraq could fire weapons that could hit London, which was at the same time was being sold by people like Ronnie Flanagan, who was the boss of Jacinda Ardern while she was working for Tony Blair, helping them sell Rogenomics and telling anyone that isn't it great, the trickle-down effect, you know. So again, we keep trying to say that Jacinda Ardern is this progressive liberal leader. No, she's not. She's a neoliberal apparatchik. And, you know, that's a lie. Go read the Worldwide Socialist website makes it damn clear she ain't a socialist. And that's again, part of this whole freedom lie. Oh, terrible socialism. I'm sorry, but Winners has actually the right ever done anything for the workers? Stop buying into this nonsense, because, you know, what they're telling you is socialism is not socialism. And I'm not saying we go completely socialist, but I'm trying to say that there is a middle ground, and outright socialism is no, and neither is full free market crony capitalism, which is kind of basically what the West was, America was pushing on the rest of the world, which means that we get to go in and privatize all of your company assets so you guys can't get health aid. That's unfortunately basically where we turn around and we get to 2001, is that again, we've turned around, Putin has turned around and turned a blind eye to the West. They in turn have to turn around and give him a blind eye to what he's getting up to in Chechnya, what he's got up to in Besan, where he actually is murdering journalists, he is murdering people that are actually have got genuine, you know, dissents and grievances, but we've made him this particular creature, and we're not owning that, and we're still actually out there cheering on all these Russian oligarchs. This isn't saying this is new free trade. Yeah, the billionaires, they get to have it all. We'll have a little bit of a break, and I think we will go with I hope the Russians love their children too, and you're on the Deadline Report with Ben Virgin Investigate.
Soviet, Mr. Khrushchev.
Good morning, you're on the Deadline Report and we're on Last Stretch. So what I forgot to mention was the thing about all of that arms trafficking going on in Switzerland and, you know, companies being kicked out of Switzerland, sent up New Zealand, was what was going on is through the army or the Bosnian brigades in Bosnia, it created a situation which allowed NATO to take over on the United Nations and began the first situation of the NATO expansion, which would then start to go out towards out to other countries, Estonia and da-da-da-da. And at the same time, what was then being deployed in these countries was increasingly strategical tactical nuclear weapons at the time when, because of the project for the new American century, America had already now declared that it had a right to carry out nuclear first strikes. You can imagine this is starting to make the Russians feel a little bit nervous. This is not what's not we're going from not one inch east to now we've actually got NATO not only expanding eastwards quite rapidly, quite dramatically, but it's doing so with its nuclear arms and it's saying it's allowed to do so with a first strike capacity. 2000, of course, comes around, and 2001 is a dream for the project for the new American century because at that stage they're having a very hard time convincing Americans that actually America needs to be this big boy on the block because everyone's quite enjoying the idea that nuclear war and world obliteration is actually over. Everyone except for the hawks and the guys in Israel, because it's getting very hard to actually justify what you're up to when you can't claim, oh, we're doing this to keep the dirty communists out the bay, and everyone's starting to have a very close look at your human rights records and go, you're actually a bit of, you're kind of scumbags actually, aren't you? You know, and please stop hiding behind this Judaism, because it's the Judaism religion is fantastic. What you're doing is outright Zionism, military nationalism. That's what Zionism is. 2001 occurs, very short interlude there was that basically, what if you want to go and look at proof that something's wrong with 2001, go and look at the fact that in the subsequent inquiry, they're saying that actually just after 9/11, it was said that the attackers had access to anthrax. They had been identified in Czechoslovakia meeting up with an Iraqi colonel via the Czechoslovakian police, who had the colonel and Mohammed Atid actually spotted for them, care of the Israeli intelligence. Bugger, what a shame, because the only problem with that particular theory is that Mohammed Atid at that particular weekend, when he's been spotted by the Czechoslovakian police, care of their good friends in Israel, he's actually on the other side of Atlanta, locked up for the weekend because he doesn't have a driver's license. And that's actually when you go and look at the post result, that's all actually quite documented there. So they had to admit, no, sorry, that was all a bunch of bollocks. But what you do have, when you look at it carefully, you're going, wait a minute, we have an intelligence service that is actively naming a terrorist that is not known at that point and saying, this guy is Mohammed Atta, months before 9/11. That's your smoking gun. Something ain't right. 2001 occurs, and suddenly America has this massive, you know, we're going to invade Iraq because they have weapons of mass destruction. Oh, and they're going to hit United Kingdom because Tony Blair has said so, which is about the same time that Jacinda Ardern is working for Tony Blair, helping Tony Blair sell the Rogernomics story that, oh yes, trickle down is wonderful. Yeah, public-private partnerships are great. Not exactly very kind of Norman Kirkish or socialist at all, and not very kind of in line with the story that we're told that she's the great progressive liberal queen. I don't believe that, and neither does the worldwide socialist web. Go and have a look at what they have to say about her and start saying, when people say, oh, that's just the socialist, no, please don't associate Jacinda Ardern with socialism because she ain't got anything at all to do with it. And see, what we are doing is we're getting new laws passed. Civil liberties have been kicked to the curb. America now has an unlimited military expansion to do exactly what it wants. So it starts expanding again even further into NATO. And this carries on all the way up. Basically, 2008 starts to see Russia starts to push back. And you start to get things like the Chechen conflict kind of. And that's happening a little bit kind of around about the same time. But it's the beginning of the pushback. But at the same time, the West has got a bit of a problem now because they can't really call Putin out on that because they've just sat back and Putin's just given them the green light, you know, turn and look the other way when they've invaded Iraq and Afghanistan. In fact, Afghanistan's a funny one because Zbigniew Brzezinski said to the Americans, we're going to use Afghanistan to suck the Russians into Afghanistan and make it their Vietnam. And the Americans completely ignored their own doctrine. And that's kind of why they got their butts kicked, because they ignored every single army that goes into Afghanistan, a country with five borders. It's not a good place, to occupy. It's kind of really asking, it's a good place to go and get your armies chewed up. So they start doing all this stuff, and what we're having also around 2008 is the other key instrument going on, and this is the beginning of sanctions, is that what's been happening in Russia is that Putin has now turned around and he's consolidated his position. He's convinced all these oligarchs, which is just, as far as he's concerned, people to get him where he wants to be. He's convincing that he's the man for the job. He's consolidated his position. And he's now turning around and he's saying to all these companies that have come in and actually bought up stuff cheap, that's very good. But now you show me your taxes. You open your books and show me you paid your taxes. And people like Stephen Jennings, who's a very complicated man because I really don't like free trade economics, but I have to say one thing about Mr. Jennings is even though I think his philosophy sucks, he does appear to be a rather ethical gentleman and quite a sophisticated one compared to the rest of his scheming little robber baron mates, or railway stealing barons, I should possibly say. He gets out because he actually paid his taxes. He, at that point, had gone from being a treasury official to now he's the wealthiest guy in Russia, Renaissance Bank Moscow. Now he's actually in Africa doing the same thing he did to the Russians and the same thing he did to New Zealand, but that's another story altogether. But he actually is doing it from his ethical, you know, you could say he's lawful neutral. He's doing it by the law. He believes that this is the correct model. And to some degree, I don't agree with the principle, but I don't have a problem with Mr. Jennings' ethics. He's one of the few people out there that I say, your philosophy sucks, but at least you're doing it. You know, maybe if free economics would work, if everybody actually followed the rules. The problem is it doesn't work because you've got people like Faye Richwhite who then decide that actually, no, tax is something that only poor people have to pay, and it all falls down, and the trickle-down effect doesn't occur. At this particular point, he said, you know, sure, it's for taxes. So then it all gets very, very good. Kind of like people start getting very growly towards Putin, like Richard V. Allen, who's down in Queensland, starts writing letters. This is terrible. It's terrible that you're nationalising our assets. We should be able to just plunder your country and not pay our taxes. And then people like Bill Bowder turn around and start writing this huge program about sanctions against Russia and rah, 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 rah. Of course, the Spiegel is the only one that actually turned around and says, well, actually, everything that Bill Bowder is saying is actually kind of true. But what he's leaving out is the fact that the American guys were doing this as well. At that particular point, we've also got, you know, turning up on our shores. We've got people like Kim.com. And then we get Mikhail Kimmich turning up. And he's offering to basically buy up the America's Cup and fund it for us. And even though previous examples early in the 90s had made it clear that America's Cup had been kind of used as a tool by the Russians to kind of launder money out of Russia into the American banks. And again, when we look at this money trail, the very important to understand is that the money trail on these oligarch friends doesn't go, he gives the money to the Russians and the money stays in Russia. That's the problem with that story, because it doesn't. It goes, Mike gives it to his friends, inverted quotation marks, but the money ends up in the same New York banks that we turn around and start to see have issues with the Clinton Global Initiative and inquiries there. And we have inquiries about Donald Trump and his tax laws. And it's all these same five banks in New York that the money always seems to end up. So the whole idea that this is somehow supporting Moscow, kind of the money trail just doesn't support that. And we are going to go all the way up now to 2014, and we're going to have to stop because we've run out of time. I'm sorry, folks, but next week we'll carry on the story, the narrative that isn't being told. And again, make clear, I'm not saying that Putin is a good guy, but what our media hasn't done is they haven't presented the history of this correctly. They've ignored historical facts regarding arms treaties. They've ignored what was going on inside Russia in terms of plunder by major corporations. They've ignored the fact that many times that it was actually not the Russians carrying out nuclear proliferation, but Western areas, at the same time that the American doctrine has said, we now reserve the right to carry out first strikes because of all these nasty countries proliferating nuclear weapons, which from the Russian intelligence analyst view would be kind of like, I think we're being set up. Oh, that's going to make us even more nervous. But we'll have to come up with all that stuff next week in the Deadline Report. This has been Virgin, Kira Fresh FM, and I look forward to telling you more about 2014, what went on in Ukraine, that led up to the events of 2022. We're going to talk about things like Edward Snowden, and we're going to talk about John Pilcher and his report, basically talking about the propaganda war. And eventually we're going to get to the point that, yes, again, it's very, the thing about basic inclusion is it's like, people go, oh, but do that, I have to be on Donald Trump's side. No, you don't. Please get that out of your head. Donald Trump is, the only thing that's happened with the difference here is that Donald Trump has looked at the Ukraine and gone, this is a loser. I don't want to touch it. He's smart enough. That's, you know, he's an opportunist. You don't have to like Donald Trump to realize that you are not actually, this has got nothing to do with Donald Trump. This is actually, he inherited it and he's deciding the best thing he can do so it doesn't suck him down is kick it loose.
The The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.